In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. So, I think I've mentioned before how much I love the Gospel of John. I took a class when I was in college on the Gospel of John. I may have told you this before, too, but I refer to it as the Lit Majors Gospel because it's so beautifully written. But one of the things that we had to do in that class is we had to say what was in each chapter. There's a test where you went through and you said, chapter one, there's this, chapter two. I'm not good with that kind of thing. I'm not good with addresses, as I call them. If I quote a Bible verse and someone said, oh, where is that? I'm like, it's in the Bible? No, I generally have a little bit better idea than that. But the one thing that I always will remember is that the man born blind is John chapter 9, because of that nice little memory thing where blind and 9 rhyme together. But anyway, I love this story. This is one of those great sections in Scripture that there's so much in. There's so much that we can see about in this. It's talking about sight and blindness, which the Gospel of John has a whole bunch of different themes that run through them, and sight and blindness is one of the themes that run through it. And you see a whole discussion in here with the Pharisees about being able to see and blindness and that kind of thing. And then you obviously have healing. Healing, again, is one of the things that just runs through all of the scriptures. You have one of the signs that Christ performed. He performed 7 signs in the Gospel of John. There's a lot of different groups of 7s, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago. And then you have this great discussion between this man and the Pharisees. You have this discussion between them and his parents, and you see kind of the interplay of his relationship to his parents and their relationship to the synagogue and their relationship to him, and how they choose to not say boldly what they should say because of their fear of being put out of the synagogue. And we see his strength increasing and increasing and increasing as he's being questioned by them. And then you have this little discussion that I touched on last week about what caused this man to be blind. Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And Christ responds, no, it's so that the glory of God may be shown. And you have all of these different things, and there's so much that can be taken from all of this. But what I want to focus on today is that topic of sight, and specifically of kind of the two different kind of sights that we see talked about in some of the hymns that we have. In one of the hymns from Orthros this morning, if you want to learn about the scriptures, if you want to learn the teaching of the church, come to the other services, not just Divine Liturgy, come to Vespers and come to Orthros. You could never pick up a book about the Orthodox Church that's a catechism of the Orthodox Church, and you could just read the various hymns of the church, and you could learn what the church teaches. That's how important these things are, is the fact that we can come and we can learn these things. And I'll be talking in a minute or two about what that truly means as opposed to what we sometimes kind of think learning is. But so in one of the hymns this morning for the blind man, it said, who shall declare thy might, O Christ, and who shall number the multitude of thy wonders? For as thou was seen doubly in thy goodness on earth, so did thou doubly grant healing to the sick. For not only did thou heal the bodily eyes of the man born blind from the womb, but the eyes of his soul also. So it says, you to Christ granted healing to the sick, but it was doubly. It was both of soul and body. And here, specifically talking about the man born blind, it says, for you did not heal only the bodily eyes of the man born blind so that he could see, but also the eyes of his soul. There's another place where they reference this a little bit different. And quite often what happens in the hymns is they take one of the verses in the scriptures and the writer will apply it to themselves. We'll talk about as David sinned, so I have sinned. You know, as you did grant forgiveness to David through Nathan, so grant forgiveness to me as well. And so in this one it says, Since my soul's noetic eyes are blind and sightless, I come unto thee, O Christ, as did the man who was born blind. Now, this is one of those words that we see in these hymns and we hear and we're like, okay, what does that mean? So my soul's noetic eyes are blind and sightless. Well, it comes from this word, is the nous. And the nous is often translated in the scriptures as the mind. But that's not really a good translation. Because when we think of the mind, we think of the brain. We think of the rational thought. And the nous is something different. It's one of those things that you can't really describe it in the same way that you can't really describe God. It's not that we can't have some sort of understanding of it, but in the same way that we can't totally understand God or we can't totally understand another person, we can't totally understand or comprehend what the nous is. But we can kind of describe how it works and we can kind of understand it enough so that this stuff makes more sense to us. And so the best description that I've heard of it is it's kind of the eyes of the soul. It's a good metaphor for it as a lens. It's that part of us that sees God. And so often when we read these verses in this scripture that we read as, okay, being our mind, we read it as being something where I need to learn this, I need to learn facts about this. That's not really what it's about. It's about a comprehension that goes beyond how our brain works. It's not about thinking, it's about having an intimate knowledge. I've mentioned this before. It's like in the Old Testament when they say that, you talk about biblical knowledge. You talk about Abraham knowing Sarah and having Isaac. Well, that's you know, biblical knowledge. A marital knowledge is marital relationships. They're talking about sex here. They're talking about actual having a knowledge that goes beyond the thinking, but a relational knowledge and understanding that has to exist beyond our thoughts about something. And so when we talk about the mind understanding something, so many times in scriptures when it talks about that, it's not talking about our rational mind. It's talking about our nous. It's talking about that lens that sees God. And so that's what is being talked about here when it says that Christ opened the eyes of the blind man, that it was not just the eyes, the physical eyes, but it was also the eyes of his soul, the eyes of his nous, that is what was given. And that's such a huge part of our understanding of what it is to be Orthodox. Because what it is to be an Orthodox Christian is not to know this, and this about God. You can know all the right things about God. You can know that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Messiah, that he's the Lord. But as he points out, the demons know that as well. Having the knowledge about Christ is not the important thing in our faith. It's being purified through baptism. It's being illumined, and we're illumined through the Holy Spirit, and that's what I'm talking about here, is that illumination, so that we can truly know God in a way that's not about knowing about him, but actually know him. So it's about being purified in baptism. It's about being illumined, and that happens through a life of repentance and a life of asceticism. It's not a life reading books. Reading books will just get you knowledge about God. It's living the life that he has called us to live that will actually help us to truly know God. And then ultimately, the third step is complete union with him. We call it theosis, being completely united to him. And so we see this today, or at least the first two steps, we see today in this telling of what happened between Christ and the man born blind. We see him being symbolically purified, because Christ spits in the clay, puts it on his eyes, and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he goes and he washes. So that, whenever you see washing in the scriptures, think baptism. So we see that washing, which is that baptism, the beginning of that purification, that beginning of not just washing away sins, but cleaning that noose so that we can see God. It's literally cleaning away absolutely everything that distracts us from God, whether bad or good. And that second point is illumination. And that's what he grants to this man, because it's only by illumination given by the Holy Spirit, that someone can say Jesus is the Lord. It's only, and can truly profess that. As I said, the demons know that, but they don't really profess that. And so that's what this illumination is. And it's something that you know, like I said, it's something that doesn't have to do with knowing facts. It's something about that has to do with knowing God. And how do we attain it? How do we seek this illumination? Is through that first step, as I mentioned, the purification. And that is not gained through just saying, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do that, this or that or the other. Purification is not just getting rid of sin, but it's, like I said, it's cleaning out anything that keeps us from God. And that anything can be thoughts that are bad and it can be thoughts that are good. It's ultimately focusing on Christ, which is only done through prayer. It's only done through fasting, through taking away those things that distract us, and food is one of those things that helps clear our minds when we're not full and, you know, kind of fat and happy. It only happens through attending the services. It only happens especially through repentance, through the sacrament of confession. That's how we purify ourselves, and God illumines us through that. But here's the great thing, is that all of these things, we shouldn't, so often, we hear of these things or we read of these things and we go, oh my gosh, it sounds so hard. And it's not easy. It's not free. Our will has to be involved. But it's ultimately by the grace of God. And it's ultimately what He wants for us. And it's not about where we are. It's, you know, we talk about the threefold thing that I gave you is kind of the classic teaching of the fathers about what our life in Christ is, what our spiritual life is, the being purified, the purification, the illumination, and the theosis, being fully united to Christ. But it's not like it's a ladder. It's not like it's steps. It's not like we can go, oh, okay, I'm here, now I'm here, now I'm here. Because in the same way that knowing God isn't about knowing these certain facts, this whole thing isn't about certain steps to perfection, but it's instead a whole lifelong experience. And so the great thing is that this is what God wants for you. And that He will give you the grace, and He will do all He can to help in this process, in this life. Even when I say process, it doesn't seem right, because that seems like you do this and that and that and that. Instead, it's just living this life. And that He wants to give this to us, and He wants us to be purified, and He wants us to be illumined, and He wants us to be united to Him. And it's because of His great love for us that He gives us the tools to help us with those things. He does it Himself. It's His strength. It's only by His strength that He does it. But we have to agree to do it, and He gives us these tools to help us attain it, which, as I said, our prayer and fasting, the ascetical life, it's the services and confession and all those things. And so ultimately, at a point in time, well, actually right now, because you've actually been given purification and illumination through baptism. And so it's something that forgive me, I know that this... anyway, we've been given it, and it's something we need to just continue to grab a hold of. And the way that we do that is those tools that He has given us. And so that through the great gift that He has given us, so that we can actually say, like the blind man, I was blind and now I see. And that is, you know, that's the goal. That's why we're here, is so that we can truly see Christ, that we can truly be illumined, so that we can truly come to know Him and be united to Him. For our salvation, to the glory of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.